Scripture reading, Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Devotional. When Jacob was a young man, he used trickery and deceit to steal the birthright and blessing that rightfully belonged to his older brother Esau. As a result, he had to flee from his brother's murderous wrath. After 25 years had passed, years in which there was no contact between them, Jacob begins a journey back home. He will face the conflict head-on and reconcile with Esau if he can. God had said to him, "I will be with you," Genesis chapter 31, verse 3. In the midst of his uncertainty about what might happen, a man, believed by some to be the pre-incarnate Christ, wrestled with Jacob in the night and struck his hip out of joint. Not long after, Jacob and Esau met and were reconciled. Here is how author John Paul Lederach describes what we can learn from these ancient brothers about God's presence in our conflicts. The call Jacob received was to turn toward all that he feared and walk back to his brother, not knowing what would happen. And the promise of God was not that all would be fine, or that all would be taken care of well ahead of his arrival. The promise was simple: "I will be with you." Ultimately, reconciliation is a journey toward and through conflict. In this instance, God does not promise to do the work for Jacob. God does not promise that he will take care of everything and level the road for Jacob. God promises to accompany him, to be present. We will find God present throughout the journey toward reconciliation, in the depths of fear, in the hopelessness of the dark nights, in the tears of reconnection. The pathway through conflict toward reconciliation is filled with God encounters, if we have the eyes to see and the heart to feel. Conflict opens a path, a holy path, toward revelation and reconciliation. Conflicts offer us revelation and the possibility of reconciliation, but they can also leave us limping if we allow God to do that work in us. They become opportunities God can use to break our pride and teach us to depend on Him more fully. Question to consider: in what ways does God's simple promise, "I will be with you," give you courage to move toward your fears and toward reconciliation with someone with whom you have a conflict? Prayer. Lord, I long for the courage of Jacob, to move toward rather than away from those with whom I have conflict. The uncertainty scares me, but I also believe and claim the promise that you will be with me. I ask that this journey of reconciliation will become a path of revelation, a place in which I encounter you in a new way, In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a breath and spend the next 30 seconds of silence and stillness with Jesus at the sound of the gong.